Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Half of all unemployed people say they've suffered from anxiety or depression during the past year. 25% of them have applied for food stamps. One-fifth have visited a food bank. Those are some of the results from a new New York Times survey of unemployed Americans. And it's a place, John, where statistics, you almost, they kind of pass over my head. They seem so surprising to me.
Numbers conceal more than they reveal, I think, ultimately.
Sometimes they really do. You have to stop and really examine each one of them and see what that means. We are joined by James Forestieri. He's been homeless and living at the Bowery Mission in Manhattan for the past 6 months. He rejoins us. We spoke with you before, James. We wanted to get an update on how things are for you. You've been unemployed for 6 months, but you've gone through the program at the Bowery Mission, and you're now ready to find a job.
That's
right?
Correct.
How are things?
Things are good. I feel pretty optimistic.
You do?
I do.
But you hear what I just said about the results of this poll of unemployed people, that many of them suffered anxiety, depression. Does any of that surprise you? Does that sound pretty familiar to the situation you've been in?
It does. It doesn't surprise me one bit. I see a lot of people every day at the mission that need help. But it doesn't overwhelm me. It doesn't deter me. I think what the Bowery Mission does so well, like other faith-based organizations, through their program, not only did they give you the skills to seek employment, but they instill hope. So I think that, from a state, like I said last time, from coming from an overwhelming sense of hopelessness to go through a program to learn some more job skills on top of the ones that I have and be guided and encouraged and given hope. Puts me in a position now, sitting here, that I'm pretty optimistic about going back into the workforce.
Well, you're one of the lucky ones who found a shelter and there was a place for you. Mm-hmm. We're rejoined by Kevin Roach, the executive director of the South Oakland Shelter in Royal Oak, Michigan. Kevin, there's not always places for everyone who needs shelter and needs encouragement.
Definitely. I think that's what we have seen in this past year, is just a sharp increase in the number of those who are seeking shelter and other services, but unfortunately many homeless shelters and other human service providers are unable to really adequately meet that sharp increase that we've seen in this past year, definitely.
Kevin, you described the people who come into the shelter there in Michigan as shell-shocked. Can you tell me what you mean by that?
Definitely. I think what we were really talking about earlier was this fact that we are definitely seeing a different face of homelessness, a changing face of homelessness, kind of away from what we typically think are the stereotypes surrounding homelessness, that we have seen this shifting face of homelessness, which includes those individuals who are women and children, households experiencing homelessness, as well as those who are experiencing homelessness for the very first time. And that, of course, comes with it a dramatically different approach that we have to take. They're not used to the services. They're not used to being in this type of a situation. They are coming to us traumatized, shell-shocked, unsure of what to do or where to go or who to talk to or any of those other services that are offered, just because they've never had to do it before. And that has, of course, forced the social workers at my agency to dramatically shift and alter their approach and, of course, meeting their needs.
These are people that you describe it as having worked for maybe Ford or Chrysler for years, no criminal record, no substance abuse problems, the unemployment ran out, they've lost their homes to foreclosure. And
definitely.
James, and I'm wondering, for those people who come in, there's an added issue of guilt.
Absolutely.
That
absolutely.
They feel like
and shame and feel like failures, and that's why I think there's the increase in depression, because I know that in my life, when I've so-called lost everything and hit a bottom. And ended up homeless, the overwhelming sense of, how did I get here? How did I get here? What happened? And what can I do now? And in that, it's hard to see your way out of it. It's hard to see how I can move forward, how I could come out of the current condition that I was in. That's why I think that being in a place like the Bahari Mission helped me so much, because they showed me the way out.
Okay, we're joined now by Andrew Stettner. He is with the National Employment Law Project. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
This is not a problem in Brooklyn, and it's not just a problem in Michigan, right? This is the U.S. Conference of Mayors saying that 22 out of 23 cities they spoke to had an increase in requests for food from families.
When you have 1 out of 10 adults, at least, in some measures, 1 out of 6 out of work, it's a national crisis. People have been out of work so long that whatever personal and family resources they had has been stretched to bear. What's interesting about this poll is it does show the safety net is responding in better than it did, let's say, example, in the severe 1980s recession. More workers are getting help from unemployment or food stamps, health care. What's very interesting to me, this poll comes out just at the time when Congress is deciding whether to pull the plug on the kind of assistance that's been available. And if anything, this poll should just really show that we really have to do more, not less, to support the jobless.
Well, political tough times, Andrew. But let's talk about some of the things that Kevin and James were referring to a moment ago, this sense of being shell-shocked. How difficult is it for people to become self-advocates and to really demand rightful services, things that are available to them through the safety net, as a way of keeping their families healthy and keeping them away from rock bottom?
Most of these folks have been self-reliant their whole life, have never had to ask for help from their family, for one sense, or even our government, for sure. And so this is a complete new experience for people. It's overwhelming. You know, these offices are in parts of town or with people that you have never interacted with before. So there's huge barriers to getting assistance. And for those of us, it's not hard to imagine, for those of us whose identity is wrapped up in going to work, playing by the rules, to have the rug pulled under you, it's very hard not to blame yourself, even if you're not to blame.
Andrew Stettner, you told one of our producers that you had a question for John Hocken, my co-host, John Hockenberry, if you saw him at a cocktail party. What was that question?
Well, I always ask John, what is it about America when we can have so many adults out of work and the nation just appears to be going about its business? And it's not a national priority to address this.
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, I think we explore this every day on the program. I think part of it is the disparity of who's employed, who's not employed, who's wealthy, who's not wealthy. I mean, there are enormous disparities in the United States, and they become existential disparities where people are living in two different nations in this country sometimes. I don't know if that's you're closer to the ground than I am, Andrew.
Surprising about that is it does seem like everybody knows someone who's out of work. I mean, it's stretched further and deeper into all different stratas of society. I think we just have such a culture that we think that everyone can do it on their own, that the economy will recover on its own, and so we're just kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. But that just may not be enough this time.
Self-reliance is kind of a narcotic that lulls us into thinking everything's going to be okay. That's an interesting way of putting it. That's a great takeaway there, Andrew.
Andrew Stettner is the Deputy Director of the National Employment Law Project. Also, Kevin Roach from the South Oakland Shelter in Royal Oak, Michigan, joined us. And again, our friend James Forestieri, living at the Bowery Mission in Manhattan for the past 6 months. Thanks to all of you.